There is a stability of mindfulness. The more can be seen. And yet we're not in charge of what is seen. Sometimes what's seen is an unfolding of conditioning, as I pointed to, as we pointed to in the guided meditation. Sometimes it's much broader, much more a state of ease or relaxation that the mind is gravitating towards. Less attention to detail. So sometimes in the continuity, the stability of mindfulness, there's a curiosity about detail and precision. And sometimes it's much more kind of stepped back. So just that curiosity of what is obvious, what is already known, what is naturally known. The descriptions, this kind of discussion of or pointing to, I guess we could say, the pointing to something that might be able to be seen. Sometimes that can help our minds be interested in seeing something in a new way. So the instruction itself is a kind of a condition that supports or points to what might be able to be seen at certain times. But not necessarily, it's not necessarily something to do or try to see. Sometimes I've seen in my practice sitting down and very organically having the mindfulness move in the direction of seeing detail, seeing unfolding conditioning, and seeing how that supports freedom. The next time I go to the meditation hall and sit down, I feel like I have to do that. I have to find the way back to that kind of seeing. And that's a recipe for suffering. That's a recipe for frustration often. Our practice is simple. Our practice is just being available to see what's here, what's obvious, and being willing to be available for what is happening. Not trying to dig in or see or pull things apart, but just what's obvious, really a kind of a very willing reception of what's easily available to be seen. Sometimes I've seen too the idea, this might be familiar to some of you, the idea when there is a kind of seeing of a lot of things in our mindfulness. Sometimes it does feel like there's a lot being revealed, like that kind of complexity of what goes on in our minds. It sometimes feels like I have to keep up with it, like I have to track what's going on. And that can add some tension or some kind of frustration or some like tumbling forward almost of trying to remember somehow. We're getting involved with the job of what mindfulness does. Mindfulness, does kind of track what's happening. Mindfulness does remember some to some extent what goes on. This is part of its functions. But we feel like we have to do it. We feel like we have to get involved in that. And so just noticing that kind of feeling. And for me, it often is a feeling of anxiety almost. Oh no, I can't keep up. I can't keep up with how fast this is going. And that's a relationship. That's an attitude of, I need to do this. I need to keep up. Mindfulness will reveal what it reveals. Sometimes it does kind of track and see very clearly and let us see very clearly moment to moment what's going on. Sometimes what the experience is just like a feeling of slipperiness, like things changing so fast we don't even know what's changing. And we don't have to keep up with it. We don't have to try to know every detail. I said this yesterday, but I think yesterday afternoon, but I think it's useful to repeat. Just remembering how simple the practice is, actually. Just what we engage with is remembering awareness, recognizing what's obvious, and noticing our relationship to it from time to time. The more stable that mindfulness gets, the less we have to remember to be mindful, the more it's just kind of almost like we're in the momentum, we're in the flow of that awareness. The more that can be seen, the more complexity of our bodies and minds can be revealed. This complexity of conditioning, of how sensation conditions a recognition of what that sensation is, and then how that conditions thought, and then how that pulls in all kinds of ideas and views and beliefs. Just that unfolding, that very natural unfolding of what goes on in our minds constantly all day long, can be revealed. Often in our everyday lives, all of that activity is below the surface of what we're consciously seeing. And so mindfulness kind of opens up the windows and lets us see just how complicated and complex our system is. But the mindfulness is revealing that complexity. It's a simple mind that lets us see the complexity. And so if what's happening is there's complexity, you know, that's just what's happening. That's the object. And sometimes the complexity shows itself in some clarity. You know, it's like understanding or seeing that the mindfulness is revealing the nature of how that complexity is put together. And sometimes it's just complication. It just feels like it's complex, it's complicated, and there's not the sense of clear understanding of how all the parts relate. And so if it feels complicated, if it feels complex, it's just an object. It's just an object. Sometimes we might just recognize, wow, confusion or complication. That's what is obvious. Complexity is what's obvious. I don't know the details of that complexity. That's okay. So the simplicity of the practice allows us to kind of settle back and be curious about conditioning, curious about what's going on, but not needing to try to track it or control it, or even need to remember it. Sometimes the learning, the understandings that lead to freedom happen kind of below the surface of our conscious awareness. Sometimes it's very clear. There's an insight and understanding, and there's a release from some kind of suffering, and there's a kind of like the entire system from the deepest parts of ourselves, the deepest nonverbal parts of ourselves, all the way through to the cognizing conscious parts of ourselves that can articulate what happened. Sometimes that understandings and insights can have that kind of, they can be pulled through all the levels of our mind and body, and we might be able to articulate what we understood. But sometimes the freedom happens, the release happens, and the experience is as simple as understanding something let go. And we don't know what let go. We just understand in that moment there is a release. There is a freedom that wasn't there before. And we don't have to figure out why. It's useful to recognize the release. That's really the third noble truth the Buddha points to. Realizing the release from suffering. Sometimes that's what's clear about an experience. Sometimes what's clear is the second noble truth, understanding the cause, the arising of suffering. Sometimes that's what's clear. That may be more the sense of seeing how something's put together. Understanding and then witnessing how the letting go happens, letting go of the conditions that lead to suffering. Sometimes that's what's clear. Sometimes what's clear is the first noble truth, just understanding this is suffering. And sometimes what's clear is recognizing this practice is helpful. So the Four Noble Truths, as they're stated, there's an action or an activity associated with each noble truth. There is suffering, and suffering should be understood. There is an arising of suffering, conditions leading to the arising of suffering, and that can be released or let go of. Letting go of the arising of suffering, the cause of suffering. Realizing the release from suffering. And developing or cultivating the path leading to the release from suffering. So this can be understood as practices, kind of the activity, but also the Four Noble Truths can be experienced as freeing insights. The understanding this is dukkha, that can be experienced as a freeing insight. Just the simplicity of, oh, this is suffering. We can feel a kind of space around it. We might feel a release from it. We might at times see the arising and understand the conditions leading to the arising, the second noble truth. Seeing that complexity of conditioning happening, sometimes that's what's witnessed. And that too can be very freeing. Sometimes we just experience the letting go, that third noble truth, the release from suffering. And sometimes, actually, maybe a lot of the times, what we're experiencing is I'm on the path. This is the way. There's confidence, a sense of. This path leads in the direction. Understanding the practice is supportive. That's the fourth noble truth. Cultivating the path and the understanding there that's described as an insight is this is the path. That too can be very freeing, even as we're observing something challenging or difficult, observing anger arising, seeing how mindfulness holds it, how the mindfulness creates conditions for understanding and a different relationship to that. We can feel the value of being on the path in a moment. At times we can understand the value of that. That's a way in which that fourth noble truth, this is the path, is a liberating understanding. It takes us towards liberation to understand the path. And so the experience of our practice has so many different flavors at different times, and just honoring how is it right now? Remembering that simple, what we actually do is really simple.